I mean, that was the first ideal, that I really wanted to develop a site where people can come onto the site and they don't have to wonder whether these guys are actually doing it or not. And you know, so that's where kind of one of my my goals is to bring people on to the site that actually know what they're talking about. I mean, I read an unbelievable amount of books, and a lot of my reading leads to contacting the authors, and that's, you know, some of the people who end up being on there with the interviews. So it's that was the main goal. You know, it kind of cut through the smoke and mirrors online. And what else would I say? Oh, the next thing basically is I wanted to make it a resource center. So it would make it easy for people. You know, you can come online, you get yourself educated. And once you're educated, you know, okay, you know, I want to do this and this and this. Now that I know I want to use Google AdWords and I know I want to market a product, what can I market on Google AdWords?
Right.
So that was kind of the reason for the resale rights products, because it's a simple, easy way to have something to market and get it going. So that was kind of the second part of it, is really to make it a resource site that's kind of an all in one little shop kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you can go in and get an education, then you've actually got the products to be able to put your education to work. And I guess that's probably the basis of it. I want it to be the site to really be business intelligence,
right,
more than just business information.
Yeah.
You know, something that some people can, you know, you sink your teeth into it and then use it, you know, take action and make it work for you.
Definitely. All right. Well, were there any mistakes that you wish you could go back and correct in the initial, you know, phases of getting the business professionals set up?
Yeah. The whole site's been just a whole series of mistakes and corrections, really. I think that's how I work.
Okay. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, learning from your mistakes is a positive thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good way to learn things.
I've learned a lot. I mean, that's really what it is. I try something, it doesn't work, and I take a look at it and see, you know, okay, then what do I need to fix to make it work? I would say, really, I mean, this is the first membership site that I've actually owned and put together. So I would say I probably made every single mistake in the book, and I did a bit more research. I should have probably done more research into the infrastructure at the very beginning. I knew I needed to have basically the components to put together a membership site. I need some sort of a gateway, some software that makes sure people, only members come in. It's not everybody can come in, so I had to figure out what software to use for that. Then I needed some sort of recurring payment system.
Yep.
So I needed some software for that. And then I need something for how do you cancel members once if they cancel, then how do you get them out, or they lock them out so that they can't keep coming in.
Right.
So kind of my thinking was, okay, I need to go out and buy all this software, these different pieces of software, and then get a programmer to put them together and make them work.
Right.
Apparently, that's backwards. What you need to do is go and talk to a programmer first.
Yeah.
And tell them what you want to do. And most likely, of course, you know, hindsight being 20/20.
Yep.
Most programmers, it's easier for them to actually write their own program as opposed to buying different pieces of software and try and make it work together.
Yep.
So that's basically what ended up happening. I finally hit on a programmer that, you know, he was very, very good and really knew what he was doing, and he basically rewrote everything, and so I was sitting with, you know, three pieces of expensive software and a totally new program. So sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And that's basically the kind of how things started, and that's how it happens. I mean, you know, then the next thing is, well, how in the world do I record a telephone conversation?
Right.
And, you know, then I didn't really make any mistakes there, but I went through I have this knack of finding the most expensive way of doing things first.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I found a company that cost, it was a company in the UK, it cost something like £50 an hour.
Wow.
To record phone conversations.
Yeah.
You know, so I went ahead and paid my £50 an hour and, you know, do these 3 and 4 hour interviews and what's pounds?
It's more than a dollar.
Yeah, for argument's sake, it cost me about $100 an interview.
Wow.
To have them recorded. And that was just the recording part. Then I had to figure out now I've got this recording, how do I get it onto the website?
Right.
So then I subscribed to some service. It was like $30 a month or something. So that I could have my MP3s running on the site. So, you know,
yeah.
It cost me, oh, good heavens, it was costing about, I guess, $500 or $600 a month.
Wow.
You know, and at that time, that's at the very beginning of the site. And
yeah.
So, you know, I'm not even making $500 or $600.
Right.
You know, but I have to have the actual stuff there. So
yeah.
After a while, I figured out that, you know, there's got to be an easier way to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I found after a while, again, I'm probably one of the worst researchers. I go, you know, I find something that's really expensive, and I go and use it, and then I go back and do the research and think, okay, this is too expensive. I should probably find out other ways to do this. So then I start the research. So anyway, then I found a company in California called Dynametric that has this little black box that you stick on the side of your phone.
Yeah.
The one that I use, and there's probably other ones out there that they have that you can use as well, but the one I use, I have to have a phone with a cord on it. So I have, you know, the cord goes out of the phone into the black box, and out of the black box into the computer, and
yep.
So all of the conversations that I do, or the interviews that I do, gets recorded right on my hard drive.
Right.
So that was kind of, that was the next step. Okay, now I've got, you know, an inexpensive way. Cost, the system was like $175 a couple years ago. So now I've got a system that costs me the same price as, you know, a couple interviews, and now I can do all the interviews. So that was step number one. And next step is, you know, basically finding a piece of software that I could edit the interviews, because sometimes, you know, like happened to us, you end up with a technical problem
right.
where you want to be able to say, okay, well, I need to splice this interview here and make it smooth. And that one, that was a remarkable find. The very first one I came across was called, it wasn't. The first one I came across was something else that cost $50. But the next one, anyway, it was called Goldwave. And you can download this phenomenal editing software at goldwave.com. You download it for free, and you use it for like 1,500 times before you have to pay for it. So that was my next step, Goldwave, that I can edit the audios, the interviews. And the final one was I bought a software called Sonic Memo, so that you can actually, it's web audio, so you can actually have, if you're in the members area of the business professional listening to the interviews, you can listen to them right online. There's just like the little buttons there. You click play, fast forward,
right.
pause, all that kind of stuff. That's Sonic Memo that runs that. So it's basically those three pieces of software that now are saving me, you know, £50 per interview and all the other expenses that go along with it. So
right.
That was another, I guess it's not really a mistake, but a learning process
sure.
where you go through a lot of costs to be able to get through there. But yeah, I mean, that's basically the website. I mean, that was right at the beginning. And then I think the thing is you make a lot of mistakes and adjustments and whatnot at the beginning. And then as you go along and you learn a lot of different things, you know, it gets a little bit less and a little bit less. So I like to think I'm making less mistakes now within the areas that I'm actually, you know, I'm comfortable in anyway, you know,
right.
when it comes to website audio. If
yeah.
we get to video, I'm back to the beginning. I'll probably go buy the most expensive thing and start off right at the beginning. But no, I mean, you know, I haven't gotten into video yet. And, you know, so every time you get into something new, it's another learning experience. So
yeah.
So yeah. So that's where we're at now. Is my learning experience for audio is fairly much. I've got a system in place. So the next is to try and tackle video.
All right. Well, how time intensive is managing a membership site like the Business Professional, or do you outsource some of the admin tasks that you have at your site?
No, I don't. I haven't outsourced anything yet. Simply because with the Business Professional, what's happened now is we've pretty much put together a system that will make I don't like to say a lot of money, but it makes the bulk of money of its money in about 2 or 3 months of the year.
Right.
The rest of it then, and that's what happened last year anyway. So then this year the next step is to keep those 2 or 3 heavy months, uh-huh. and even out the other months. So we put
right.
into, you know, more marketing into it so that it, you know, it's brought the other months up to a level where, you know, it makes a living for Edwin and I anyway.
All right.
So that was kind of the goal. So we put a lot of time into it that way. But the general administration, I guess on average day I get about 20 support emails that I need to answer. And a lot of the time that I'm putting into the site right now is basically finding, you know, new people to interview, putting new products into the site and working it that way. And the partnership that Edwin and I have is that I'll put a lot of my time and effort into developing the member side of it, and he puts a lot of his time and effort into the marketing.
Okay.
So it's a really nice split.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, I do a lot of the autoresponder work and doing the messages and whatnot for that.
Okay.
So
that's
a good split.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And so I mean, for my time total on the business professional, I'm probably putting in about 30 or 40 hours a month.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
So yeah, so I'm happy with it.
How important then is the ad copy that's on the website? You know, you referenced it before,
yep.
but when someone takes a look at that front page, how crucial is it that your ad copy is done effectively?
It's basically the make or break of the business.
Right.
I mean, you can have the best widget in the world, and if you can't really express yourself and get your message across, it doesn't matter whether you've got a membership website or you're trying to sell a bar of gold.
Yeah, right.
You know, if I've got a bar of gold that's worth $500 and I can't explain to you that it has any value, you're going to look at it as a paperweight.
Yep.
You know, and why would you spend, you know, $300 to buy this $500 piece of gold when to you it looks like a nice shiny paperweight that you should spend 50 cents on? So
yeah.
The copy is critical. And like I said, I mean, I'm not the best copywriter in the world, so Edwin and I worked on the copy with for the business professional, plus we had a copywriter working with us that got that part pretty much hammered out. And one of the critical things that we did with the business professional before we went out and did the wholesale license part of it was we actually made the website work ourselves first when we were
right.
selling individual memberships.
Okay.
Because there's no benefit to anybody if we have a horrible converting sales page, and then
right.
we decide, okay, well, since it's not making us any money, let's just go and sell these wholesale licenses to lots of other people. Well, sure, you're going to make some money, but then you're going to have so many complaints coming back, it's going to be ridiculous. So
yeah.
the whole thing is make the business work first before you actually go out and do, you know, try and sell it to as a bulk to anybody else. So what we did is you know, backing up to the processes is we made, you know, we got developed our own traffic to the website and then tweaked and honed and played around with the sales letter until we got it, you know, to the offer and everything that's on there right now, got it to the point where it actually converts and, you know, it makes sales for us, and then now it makes sales for our wholesale, our licensees, so
great.
Very critical.
You bet. Well, do you have any other products that you've created or services aside from the business professional?
Yeah, I've done a few of my own. My big problem is I love creating products, but then I don't have enough time to market everything.
Right.
So I've had to stop creating products and spend more time on my marketing.
Yeah.
But I did a product that's an ebook that's a couple of years old now, so it's the theory and the concepts still work. But it's called Turn Your Autoresponder into a Cash Cow.
Okay.
And that one actually is a series of messages for business opportunity and marketing people. That you can basically, you take the messages that are there, and it's a series of articles, and it's articles that I've done as well as articles that other people have done, and you market your products using articles, which is, I mean, that was a while ago, it was really, really effective. It's still an effective way to market products through articles. It's not quite as effective now that there's not so many e-zines that you can get into.
Right.
Most people now develop their own email list, and then they'll pick specific products and do joint ventures and that kind of thing. But I don't find that there's as many e-zines now as there were at one time. So it's a little more difficult doing article marketing, but it was still a good product. And it's still, although the articles, some of the articles are a little bit dated now, it's one of those things you have to kind of go through and pick and choose some of the stuff. I don't actively market it. I did that as a resale product. But if you Google Terry Telford, that's one of the things that you'll find on the very first page is the autoresponder cash cow. It got spread around fairly well, so that was kind of cool. My newest project, I don't even have a website up for it yet. It's called The Definitive Guide to Joint Ventures. And what I did is I took the interviews that I did with Mark Goldman and Willie Crawford. Willie did a good little segment, about 5 or 10 minutes, on joint ventures as well. And those guys are making huge amounts of money on joint ventures. And so what I did is I took those two interviews, I had them transcribed into an actual PDF file, or into the written form,
right.
And then I added my own experience with joint ventures. So I've actually put in the real email that I use to get joint ventures. So I put that in there. The big thing with joint ventures is I do it as a combination. I do some email, but I do the majority of my joint ventures as I pick up the phone and talk to people.
Right.
And it's pretty much the same. I follow the same script that I have on the email. You know, when I'm introducing myself, tell the person what I'm doing. I follow the same formula as I use in the email. So it's something that's, if somebody's just getting into joint ventures or they want to really kind of hone their joint venture skills, it's quite a helpful book. So I've done that. Now, the only way that you can actually get that book right now, it's an ebook, is on, what I've done is packaged it together with a CD that I've done. I put Casper Pustowski's interview, I edited it, and put it on a CD. And now the CD, eventually I'm going to sell the CD for $97.
Right.
I'll also get it transcribed. But for now, what I'm doing is I'm giving away the CD, and all the person has to pay for the shipping and handling, but give away the CD and then bundle the CD along with the ebook, which is a joint venture, the Definitive Guide to Joint Ventures. And since I don't have a website for the Definitive Guide to Joint Ventures yet, I'm offering the package for $47, which then includes the postage and handling for the CD. So basically what I've done is kind of piggybacked the Definitive Guide to Joint Ventures onto the CD, which is already doing fairly well, and you know, kind of market it that way until I get time to get the website set up for the Definitive Guide to Joint Ventures. Then once it's got its own website, then I'm going to start it off at $67.
See that.
And do it that way. So that's my most recent project, or my most recent product, other than the Business Professional. And the Palmistry one is not really a recent project or a recent product, but it is a recent project. So that's kind of the main things that I've got on the front of my plate right now.
Cool. All right. Well, you have a list of testimonials a mile long on your front page.
Yeah.
How important, you know, is viable and verifiable testimonials when setting up a marketing, on marketing site, a membership site, an ebook site? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I would say if you have a really horrible sales letter, you probably be able to salvage it somewhat by using testimonials. If you've got a good product and a bad sales letter, if you add some testimonials, you do get some sales. And a lot of it, the really cool thing is if you have some testimonials that people have done as audios,
right?
And if you can put some audio testimonial, that blows away the other testimonials. But I mean, having a testimonial that you know, even the written one, of course, it really adds. It adds a level of credibility that you can't get anywhere else. You know, it's somebody else other than yourself. They're not trying to sell the product.
right.
for you. It's you know, they've basically just come on and said, look, you know, I love your product. Here's what it did for me, and you know, it's probably the best salesperson, you know, that you can have. It's like recommending some, you know, I like this product and you recommend it to your friend, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So really, I mean, it adds a huge level of credibility to the website, and I mean, it's really the psychological side of it as well. You know, if you're kind of, you go onto a website, you think about, you know, yourself, you're going onto a website, you don't know the person who's offering the product. You know, you're kind of sitting on the fence, you know, whether do you buy it, do you not buy it, and I think the testimonials really bring you that one step closer to actually saying, yeah, okay, you know, John Brown did this, I can really relate to this guy, he lives in the same kind of area as I do,
right.
He's thinking the same kind of things I'm thinking, or he's saying he's thinking the same kind of things, and, you know, yeah, you know, if it works for him, it's got to work for me. So I think it's one of those things that's going to tip the scales and make a lot of, well, maybe I shouldn't say a lot of sales, but it's going to make the difference for a lot of people, whether you're going to make the sale or not. And I would say probably the best example of whether testimonials work or not is TV infomercials. I mean, even though the testimonials are probably the worst fake that I've, you know, you've
yeah.
ever seen,
yeah.
they, well, for whatever reason, they do add some sort of credibility, whether it's believable or not, because
yeah.
they kind of present, you know, the other side of things. It's not just the sales side of things. It's, you know, here's how it worked for me, or theoretically. So I think, you know, it's really the psychological stuff. And I mean, we're totally getting bombarded by hype all the time. I mean, the sales copy always is, you know, screaming to buy this product or that product or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really get jaded. I mean, as a society, we really get jaded as, you know, against ad copy.
True.
So it's kind of like a nice little break. You know, you read some ad copy and the hype and whatnot, and then you get a little break and see, oh, you know, here's some hardcore information about the product. You know, it's not just all fluff.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if you don't have testimonials, especially online, if you don't have testimonials, get some. I think one of the easiest way to get testimonials is give away some of your products.
Right.
You know, especially with an ebook, it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Contact some people, and not just, you know, Joe Smith from down the street kind of thing, but, you know, contact some of the well-known people online in the industry you're in, and, you know, say, look, I just finished this product, you know, I'm just looking to see, you know, what do you think of the product? And then when they come back, if they have negative comments, use the negative comments to improve the product, and then, you know, go to somebody else and say, okay, you know, I've just done this product and revamped it, etc. And then all
right.
the positive comments you get back, use all the positive as testimonials.
Yeah.
You know, and all the negative, don't put a negative testimonial. I mean, that's kind of one of those things you don't really need to say, but use the negative testimonials to improve the product.
Okay.
And the positive testimonials, then put them on the website. But also, don't put it, just because somebody writes back and says, you know, I think this product was fantastic, you know, it really helped me, blah, 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 don't just automatically put that on the website. You got to talk to the person or send them an email and say, thanks very much for the positive comments. Would you mind if I use that as a testimonial, including your name and website or your phone number, whatever?
Right.
So it's one of those things, you don't, you know, just because somebody says something positive, it doesn't mean that's a testimonial.
Right.
You have to go back and ask them and make sure that
yeah,
it's okay with them to go
point.
And put a testimonial. But definitely do everything you can to get some testimonials for your website. Legitimate ones, not ones that you pay somebody to say good things about your
right.
You know, or don't make them up. There's some of the stuff, you know, some of the testimonials I've read, if it's actually come from a real person, it's probably the worst testimonial I've ever read. But a lot of it's just, you know, it's kind of, you know, can't you make up something better than that?
Yeah.
So don't make them up. I mean, it's too see-through. I mean, do it. Be legitimate. Get somebody to, you know, get the product out there. Get somebody to actually test it and try it and give you the feedback and use the feedback honestly.
Great. Is it possible for a brand new person, you know, say Joe Newby, who comes in, out from the cold and gets on the internet, and they come across the business professional, they become a member and they start their own internet business and allows them to make money. Do you have any examples of, you know, members that have done this, that have come to your website and, you know, have actually done pretty well for themselves?
That's kind of a difficult question. Just simply because I kind of don't have my finger on the pulse of everybody that's a member, and what they're doing. You know, I don't have a specific example to say, you know, Joe Smith did this and
right.
You know,
no, that's okay.
That kind of thing to be able to come back with. You know, but I am in contact with people through the support side of things. So I do get a lot of support mail asking me questions. Basically, you know, I do have, I suppose I make it sound like I don't have any contact with the members, but I actually do. When I say that, you know, I have about 20 support emails, you know, each day, that's actually emails from members and whatnot. So, you know, basically I'm helping people through a learning curve. I can't give you an example of an entire, you know, somebody started here and now they're at this point and, you know, they made a huge success, because usually what happens is, I'll be talking to somebody and we might talk, you know, through email back and forth for a week, and
right.
I help them through a specific area of the learning curve, and then they go off and do it on their own, and then I might not hear from them again for another 6 months.
Okay.
So, you know, it's that kind of thing where I'm a lot of what I'm doing on my support side is pretty much, you know, help people through a specific area of their learning curve. And the easiest way to do that, and the most beneficial for the person as well as myself, is pretty much every topic that somebody has that they're looking at within marketing is sitting in the members area somewhere.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be sitting in a resale rights product, it could be sitting in an interview, it could be sitting in one of the resources that I have. So one of the best ways that I think that I can help people is to direct them to the specific area of the site where that answer is.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody says, you know, I just got online, just got onto your site, you know, how do I go about marketing? Well, I have no idea what you like to do marketing-wise.
Right.
I have no idea
yeah.
what your experience is. So, I mean, for me, I'll say, you know, here's a handful of stuff. You know, maybe you want to try Google AdWords. Maybe you want to start developing your own list. You know, I don't know what timeline you're looking at. What are you kind of thinking of? That kind of thing. So I'll just say, you know, look, you know, some of the interviews that I think you might want to look at is, you know, go to listen to Perry Marshall for the ad, find out about AdWords. Go listen to Ian Herkelson about developing a list. Go listen to Annick Singel about affiliate marketing. And once you've got an idea, you know, you've done the groundwork and you've got a basic idea of what you can do marketing-wise, then pick something and follow it. And that's really a lot of the help that I do is really kind of guide people through that way. And then they'll come back with specific questions, which is good.